Today's reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit to make you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let me begin with a prayer. Our gracious God and Father, as we look at your word together, please be our teacher by your Spirit, for we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Long before COVID, there was a lot of anxiety around. It's been well documented how in recent years, anxiety disorders have been increasing in the Western world. But even those who are not crippled by constant anxiety are still fearful. In fact, it's staggering how much human behaviour is motivated by fear. For instance, the constant checking of phones and emails is driven by a fear of being out of touch. People overwork out of a fear of failure or fear of what their managers will think of them. We cover our tracks and tell lies because we fear being found out. People fear losing power, influence, money, comfort, control, reputation, security, love, respect. FOMO, fear of missing out, has even become a word in the English dictionary. Fear is a powerful motivator, but it's also a very destructive one. Unresolved, constant fear damages personalities. Fear is also linked to our sinful human natures. So when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, their first response was one of fear. And in their fear, they hid from God. All of which makes Romans 8:15 a magnificent truth to ponder and reflect on. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. For the last couple of weeks, we've been working our way through Romans chapter 8. It's a wonderful passage describing what it means to be a follower of Jesus. For the inquirer, this chapter lets you see why it's the most wonderful thing to be a Christian. For the believer, this chapter enables you to appreciate all that God has given us in Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we saw that there is now, present tense, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The Christian believer can know that God is for them, that he does not hold their sins against them, that his face shines upon them in love. And it's a wonderful thing to go through life knowing that you are accepted and loved by the Creator of the universe. And then last week we saw that not only does God accept us, he lives in us. Now this is a mind-blowing truth of great magnitude, which actually many Christian believers fail to grasp. God doesn't just give us forgiveness, he gives us himself, fully, completely. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of Jesus, and he dwells in every Christian believer. Christianity is not about doing certain things or believing certain things about God. Christianity is not about us doing our level best to try and prove ourselves to God. No, Christianity is about how a faithful God gives all of himself to us in love forever. Christianity is about how the living God takes hold of us and changes us from the inside out. Yes, we still live in this body of death, as Paul describes it in verse 10, but there is a new power at work in us. So even though you may find me and I may find you at times doing, saying and thinking the most dreadful things, I can never be happy doing, saying, or thinking those things. Because deep down, my greatest longing is to love and serve God. And so is yours, if you're a Christian. See, this is the gift of life that God has given all who have put their trust in Jesus. God does not want us to be a slave to fear. He wants us to enjoy life as life is meant to be lived in relationship with Him. And what Romans 8:15 tells us is that part and parcel of God coming to dwell in us by His Holy Spirit is that we all get adopted as His sons. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. In Roman times, it was quite common to adopt, but people didn't adopt infants as we tend to do today. No, childless, well-to-do families would adopt adults as heirs to carry on their name. And it meant various things. It meant that your new parents had to cancel all your debts, that you had a new home with a right of entry, and a new family with equal footing. And what is so staggering is that the Lord of the universe saw rebellious, hostile men and women like you and me, and in sheer, unfathomable grace chose to adopt us into His family so that we might cry out to Him, Abba, Dad, Father, and enjoy all the rights of sons. Now, don't think that is a light thing. It isn't. But sadly, familiarity has bred contempt in us being able to call God Father. We're so used to it that we forget how special it is. There is nowhere in pre-Christian Judaism where God is addressed as Abba. It's unique, it's completely fresh. I've been told that among the 1,000 names for God in Hinduism and the 99 names for God in Islam, not one of them is Father. I was having a coffee with a friend of mine called Michael, who had come to put his trust in Jesus, but lacked that confidence and joy in his walk with God. And speaking to him, it became clear that he wasn't relating to God as his heavenly Father, but as a heavenly policeman or a heavenly head teacher. Some of us may have had bad experiences of fathers, so that the idea of God being our heavenly Father doesn't strike a great chord. But please don't think about your flawed earthly fathers. God is the perfect heavenly Father who loves us unconditionally and consistently. Just as a dearly loved toddler never thinks about hiding from his devoted dad, but runs into his arms shouting, Dada, we never have to hide or keep our distance from God. We can run to Him wherever we are, whatever our condition, crying, Abba, Father. God, the awesome creator of the universe, has made us His cherished sons and daughters. But what is the implication of our adoption as God's sons in everyday life? Well, Paul goes on to tell us, what he says can be summed up in just four words. Battles now, glory then. Let me unpack that. First, battles now, verse 12. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, we must get rid of every idea that gives the impression that the Christian life is like a moonwalk. No gravity, just gently bouncing over all difficulties. It's also clear from verses 12 and 13 that we can't live like a dead fish either. Like kind of floating down the stream, being pushed wherever I might be pushed. No, the picture painted here is of a constant battle to the death with my sinful nature. Now, friends, we need to get this clear in our heads and hearts. God is always totally opposed to evil and sin. He's never content for us to indulge our sinful natures. And Paul writes in such a categorical way and repeats himself because he knows how strongly we are tempted to indulge our sinful natures. I mean, how often do I find myself thinking, oh, come on, Will, why fight it? It doesn't matter. Just this once. You know, you owe it to yourself. Do you ever find yourself thinking those terms? I'm so often tempted to think that the way of my sinful nature is the way to life because that is the way the spiritual forces of evil and my sinful nature presented to me. Give in. Let yourself go. But Paul says, no, no. That way leads to death. If I'm a Christian, I'm involved in an agonizing and a relentless battle against my sinful nature. Look how it's described in verse 13. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Since God has given me his Spirit, the power of sin to master and enslave me is broken, but the power of sin to influence me isn't. So in the original language, it's not put them to death as if we can defeat our sinful nature with one kind of killer blow. No, it's but keep putting them to death. Whatever those deeds are, dabbling with pornography or adulterous fantasies, seeking to get our own way, running down others, gossip, self-centeredness, self-pity. We must keep putting those things to death. Do you ever find yourself in the moral agony as a Christian, wanting to do something and battling to stop yourself from doing it? And when you fail, do you ever wonder if you're truly a child of God, worrying that the Spirit of God might have left you? Well, says Paul, stop worrying, because it is the Holy Spirit that is putting you in those situations in the first place. This is what it means to be led by the Spirit. Let me read verse 14 again. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. See, being led by the Spirit here has nothing to do with guidance, being led to this job or that job. It's whether I've been led into the battle with my sinful nature. And it's no good if I'm in the agony of that battle saying I need more of the Spirit to get me out of the battle, because it's the Spirit that is leading me into that battle with all its pain. Are you in that battle? Yes. Well then, be encouraged, because it's a sure sign that you are a child of God and the Spirit of God is living in you. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. But is that our only prospect as God's special children? No, of course not. It is battles now, but we have the prospect of glory then. Let me read again the end of verse 15. And by him, that's by the Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Far too often the Christian gospel that is presented today ends at verse 16, where the focus is on my relationship with God now. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not Paul's complete focus, and neither should it be ours. Paul is always wanting to point me to what will be mine in the future as well. See, being a Christian is not just about battling with our sinful natures. We are also inheritors. You see, that's why we are, whether we're men or women, we are adopted as sons. As only sons at that time had any rights of inheritance. I mean, three times in verse 17, the word heirs is mentioned. We're not just heirs of God, we're fellow heirs with Christ. What God has got in store for Christ, he's got in store for me. That's a staggering thought. God has nothing second best for us. The Christian life is not just one long battle. It is one long battle. but we've been made for glory. The glory of living in the actual presence of God the Father, just as the Lord Jesus does. The glory of loving perfectly and being perfectly loved, just as Jesus does. The glory of living as Jesus does in a resurrection body which never gets sick, decays or dies. The glory of not having to battle with sinful desires, but being perfectly righteous, just as Jesus is. The glory of reigning with Christ over a new creation. But we must be clear about keeping glory in its right place. See, in verse 17, there's a tight link between believers and Christ. We are heirs with him, we shall be glorified with him, and we suffer with him. The road to glory is via suffering. It was with Jesus, and so will be for us. Temptation, misunderstanding, abuse, death. Battles now, glory then. See, if all our focus of Christianity is just on being a child of God in the present, then we'll find the Christian life disappointing. And if I have any realism, it will make me ask questions like, am I really a Christian? Does God truly love me? Perhaps it doesn't work. And we'll be prey to any false teaching which offers us a quick, easy fix now, that extra ingredient which will solve all our problems. No, those very frustrations that can make me doubt whether I am a child of God, the battles within and the opposition without, actually are the sure signs that I am a child of God and that I'm on the right road to glory. There are so many things that cause us to fear. Things outside us and things inside us. But God has acted in Jesus to rescue us from fear. Through Jesus, God forgives us, dwells within us, and promises us glory. So please don't keep kind of Jesus at arm's length. See, without him, there's only death, judgment, ruin. If you're not yet trusting Jesus, come to him and receive from him his gift of life and glory. But if you are following Jesus, well then, keep crying out to the God who has adopted you and dwells within you. He is your Father. Keep battling those sinful desires that are at work within you. Don't play with them. Instead, with the Holy Spirit's help, keep putting them to death. Be ruthless with them. And then finally, keep looking forward to your future glory with Jesus. Battles now, glory then. That is the current experience and certain of hope of all those who are God's children. Let me lead us in prayer. Oh, gracious God and Father, we do praise you and thank you that you have adopted us as your children, that you give us the rights of sons with full inheritance. Thank you that you love us so much and want us to be so secure in your love. And help us as your children to keep putting to death all that grieves you about our lives, that sin that so offends and which so damages us. Please keep us in the fight, and thank you that your Holy Spirit will keep leading us to fight our sinful natures. And we ask and praise you for all this in Christ's name. Amen.